Welcome, everyone. Welcome to today's edition of HFS Unfiltered. And today I'm super excited to unpack the insights from one of our recent research studies where we partnered with Infosys BPM. And the study explored the business objectives and challenges enterprise leaders are facing in this AI-led, technology-driven era. We interviewed 20 C-level executives across finance, HR, supply chain, marketing, IT. And what I found fascinating was that it revealed a significant disparity between the potential that we think is out there and the practical implementation. But before we go on, I am excited to welcome Prashant and Hari from Infosys BPM. And also our very own Ashish, who did a lot of heavy lifting for this study. So welcome, gentlemen. So look, let's start with some intros, and maybe we can go around this virtual room. But also, tell me about one key takeaway that from the study that really resonated with you.
Thanks, Arup. So hi, everybody. This is Prashant Nair. I lead what we call as Enterprise Service Transformation at Infosys, managing transformation for various GBS services across our clientele across the globe. Saurabh, yeah, this study that we did, I mean, a few months back, I feel has thrown light into many areas, which has happened in the last 3-4 months, right? So today I was seeing the pace at which Grok 3 was released today by Elon and team. And I was seeing again, I mean, the way Sam has already promised us GPT 4.5 within the next few weeks or GPT 5 within the next few months. So the velocity of change that we are seeing is something that's going to impact the enterprise. Now, some of the fundamental things that came out from the study about adoption of technology itself, right? When we were talking, we were not talking about the frontier models or a mix of expert models, so as to say. But those things are still fundamental and applicable even for deploying a frontier AI model. So I think that's something that really, I mean, gave me some thought on how to help clients navigate this fast-paced AI transformation journey that they're going to embrace in the next few months or years.
Yeah, fantastic, Prashant. Hari?
Thanks, Saurabh and Ashish. My name is Hari. I lead globally digital transformation and digital services for all of our Infosys BPM clients. Fantastic white paper and study, Saurabh and Ashish. And while, you know, at a level, GenAI and AI is all about technology, one key takeaway for me from this study is it's as much about a mindset and culture shift as it is about technology. Of course, as Prashant mentioned, a lot of GenAI is moving at rocket speed. And of course, organizations need to embrace and adopt, and service providers such as us need to help them in this journey. But it's also about how enterprises look at this in terms of the culture shift that they need to make. And also with so much buzz around AI and GenAI, look at AI. While there are areas of disruption, but AI not as a disruptor, but AI as a co-pilot and a collaborator to achieve greater outcomes.
Oh, that's fantastic. Ashish?
Yeah, hello, everyone. This is Ashish Chaturvedi. I'm a practice leader at HFS Research and primary author for this study. So the key finding for me was that the most impactful AI and automation use cases that we came across during this study had a one office mindset. Now, for nearly a decade, we have been advocating for a seamless connected enterprise, but legacy systems, siloed mindsets, and rigid hierarchies have continued to hold businesses back. But that's changing right now. At least there were two such cases. One was where supply chain and finance teams collaborated for integrated financial planning, which led to optimizing the supplier relationships. There was another very interesting one where marketing insights were used to improve demand forecasting for supply chain. So I think, you know, we are gradually getting there, moving from silos to a one office mindset, and that would be required for building successful enterprises of the future.
Yeah, no, look, I think there's so much to unpack in what you just said, but let me let me pick on what Ashish said and ask you this question, Prashant. We've here at HFS, at least we've been talking about one office for, I don't know, donkey's years now, 10 years or so. And while clients are enamored by it, very few, if any, have been able to achieve it. Why is this thing so hard?
Yeah, I think Ashish alluded to it. See, one office from a concept, theoretical, is a very good concept, right? But like in all, the fundamental laws of physics, there is always other elements which are always disrupting your experiment, or other forces of nature which are always impacting this perfect picture in a way, right? And some of the things that's impacting or which has so far prevented this one office, if I might call that, one is about cultural mindset and organizational silos. Okay, so historically in our mind also, again, while we have worked with multiple clients to set up that one office, and most of our clients, I would say, see the merit of one office, right? Especially at a CXO level. The biggest challenge to implementing that is the organizational silo or the cultural set. Okay. So once that is done, I feel 80% of the difficulty is achieved. Then obviously there is the question of legacy systems, data fragmentation, I would say even a little bit of skill shortages, right? So these would be the other three elements which are hindering one office, or which has hindered one office.
So Hari, let's take all the easy challenges that Prashant threw at us. What can we do to address them? What are some practical, in your experience, what's some of the practical advice that you give to your clients?
Sure. As Prashant mentioned, and you also mentioned, Saurav, in our view, the friction to one office, if I look at what are the frictions, that's where how we are looking at trying to help customers is, one is there are lots of siloed systems, data fragmentation in organizations, and the boardroom is looking at outcomes from enterprise leaders. And enterprise leaders are stuck in a conundrum of pilot paralysis, if you will. And one of a few things that we look to help customers is identifying in this journey of GenAI adoption, identifying the right use cases that will power the outcomes that that enterprises are envisaging is as critical as just jumping into the bandwagon. So that's very important. And that's one area that we have created assets such as AI Navigator and things like that, where we are helping clients navigate this journey. Second is around AI is all about data. So enterprise data readiness is very, very critical. And that's an area where, again, see enterprises struggle for all of the reasons that Ashish also mentioned and Prashant also mentioned in terms of siloed data, do you have the right data, and so on. So again, we have created accelerators bringing expertise from AI perspective from our side to make the enterprises data ready. The third is that in this journey to scale up in production, this whole trepidation that enterprises have, and there's a little bit of cautiousness that we see around responsible AI. From an Infosys standpoint, we have created RAI frameworks, guardrails that we help customers navigate this quagmire and landscape and be able to accelerate that readiness in terms of how they can take it. Technology, in my view, is least of the challenges. It's these larger ecosystem challenges that customers are grappling with. And finally, going back to my point on boardroom expectations, looking at creating, and that's what we are focused on, creating accelerators and bringing those accelerators in finance, HR, procurement, customer service, and bringing those accelerators to bear so that we can accelerate the enterprise journey into AI. So that's the way we are looking at how can we help convert the promise to reality.
Yeah, no, I like where this conversation is going, because ultimately it's not really about AI. It's about all the things that you guys mentioned. There's a talent debt, that we have, there's a data debt that we have, there's a technical debt that we have, there's a cultural debt that we have. And at some point of time, we have to pay those debts, right? How much can you borrow on the credit cards? The bank is going to come knocking at your door. So Ashish, the other thing that I found very interesting is we've started to call global business services, GBS, as generative business services. And while that's an interesting play of words, is there something more deep in that? How are you seeing our evolution to generative business services?
First of all, this isn't just a rebrand. I think it's a fundamental shift in mindset. GBS has long been about standardization and efficiency, but if you look at the tech era that we are right now in, it must become an engine of innovation, constantly learning, adapting, and generating new value. So for us, moving from global business services to generative business services, AI shouldn't just be automating tasks, but augmenting decision-making and co-creating solutions. I think for this future to become a reality, three things need to be done. First is outcome-driven KPIs. I'll give you an example. Right now for marketing, customer acquisition cost is a KPI. Now this needs to be transcended to something called as customer lifetime value improvement. Similarly, cross-functional intelligence. We need to break those silos between functions. There was very interesting study that or a case that came up during this study, which was that how a global manufacturing company consolidated their inventory, procurement, and finance in a single cloud-based platform. And the kind of benefits they reaped were 50% reduction in error cost, 30% improvement in operational efficiency. So things like that. So cross-functional intelligence is second. First is outcome-driven KPIs. Third, I'll say self-evolving operations, where essentially you don't require an external stimuli to adapt to latest technology. It should be an AI-driven adaptability spectrum that you should be on. So once you get to these three, which many companies are trying to get to, then obviously you can say that GBS is now my generative business services, which is beyond just standardization and efficiency.
So Prashant and Hari, you've had a very successful history at a leading service provider. As enterprises move to this generative business services, how should service providers change, right? How should Infosys BPM change to cater to these demands?
Good question, right? Again, our purpose as a service provider or as a company is to help navigate these clients through to their next, which is about the next transformation journey, right? Ashish highlighted about generative business services. That's a fact, or that's where the world is going. So I would approach it from two cohorts of clients, okay? So there is a set of clients for me who are digitally native, who have been born in the last 10 to 15 years on the cloud with platform. So they have less of technical debt. And then there is obviously digitally naive companies who have been digitally enabled by companies like us. Right? So both of them, there are slight different approaches to the way that we are helping them navigate to this new AI first world, correct? Now, especially for the older traditional industry, there is obviously the cultural debt that needs to be addressed. There are elements of data and digital debt that need to be addressed. So we are handholding them through each step of the journey and helping them leapfrog into a AI-first world. Okay. Now, where I look at the digitally native companies, for them, it's about bringing the latest model and deploying it in the right fashion. And again, helping them create that one office. While they have been digitally native, they have gone with their predecessors in the sense that they have silos across the finance and procurement organization or finance and supply chain organization. So there our play would be to integrate and create that one office and quickly help them leverage the data that they have in the right format to deliver maximum value. That's how I would see we are approaching that.
Picking up from where Ashish started, See, look, with GenAI and, you know, as we've given this name around on generative business services, the pivot from, for GBSs, for the pivot from being centralized and looking at operational efficiency to the outcome-based model is a pivot. And as service providers, we also need to adopt and adapt to it. It's generally, we have been low to it. We have always focused on looking at cost takeout and reducing the cost to serve. That's a big pivot. At Infosys BPM, what we are doing is both in terms of looking at models, which is service as a software, which is all about bringing the confluence of obviously technology such as GenAI and AI, but also the BPM layer, and can the sum be greater than the parts and be able to drive outcomes. And that's also a culture change for providers such as us, but we are looking at those kind of models where can we use the power of technology and our expertise to be able to drive outcomes for customers. Of course, the cost takeout is a given in today's world of AI and agentic AI. That's one. Second, truly for generative business services to happen, one big shift that I see is that there will be a shift or a move from centralized operations to distributed intelligence, which is all about looking at data, the process, the domain, and be able to create AI embedded microservices that will enable and power real-time decision making at the action of business rather than a centralized GBS organization of the past. And how can service providers such as us and indeed Infosys BPM do it? And that's an area that we're focusing on in terms of really action. And to me, this is the real value of generative business services, where can we really look at this kind of distributed intelligence with the progress and advancements. And in terms of today, if you look at decisioning and reasoning models and the progress we have made, this is a huge opportunity for us to be able to drive this shift in terms of distributed intelligence, outcome-based models, and things like that. And finally, and this is getting a lot of press in recent days, which is around, we always had automation and those kind of things all along, but can we pivot to an agentic AI model? However, the other part is equally important, and which is where I think we're focusing a lot from an Infosys BPM standpoint, which is the human AI collaboration, because now the talent refactoring is going to happen in terms of, if agentic AI does all of the transactions, then the human is all about AI orchestration, looking at strategically leveraging AI, exception management, and of course, culture management. So that's an area where enterprises need help, and we all need to focus in terms of how do we bring this culture change in the context of outcomes, as well as a whole new operating model, which I believe is a true promise of generative business services.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. In fact, here at HFS, we've just sort of launched our 10-year market forecast and vision. And we expect services as a software built on agentic AI as a foundation is going to be a $1.5 trillion opportunity for both, which will take up both, which will absorb revenue both from the existing services model as well as the existing software model. And who's going to be the winner is going to be, you know, anybody's guess as of now. But I think what you all have pointed out makes me really excited for the future, but also makes me a tad bit nervous because there's so much that we have to do. So with that, before I let you go, if we can go around the room and ask you for, you know, if let's say you had a magic wand and you could change one thing, you know, let's not wish for five things because we can't grant that many, but let's say one thing, what would that be to make this vision that you all are trying to articulate around generative business services, services as software, what's that one thing that you would make disappear? And maybe we'll go in the reverse order this time. Ashish, let's start with you.
So instead of one thing that I would like to disappear, I would like a data spine and a disruptive mindset to appear. And I'll take 1 minute to explain why. So if you take finance for now, most of the pilots or POVs that are happening are in fraud detection or contract analysis. I want enterprises to have a disruptive mindset where they think about using AI for financial decision making or AI powered pricing, which, you know, where agent can take a call on in terms of based on the market situation. So it's not just about moving from pilots and POVs to production. It is what you are moving from pilots to production. And is it impactful enough for your business? So for that, you need to have that disruptive mindset. And till that time, you don't have a data spine, you won't be able to do it even if the intent is there. So disruptive mindset and data spine, the two things.
I like the data spine angle of it for sure. Hari?
Yeah, look, I was going to say what Ashish mentioned, but let me talk about something else. In this journey of AI and GenAI, I think talent is going to be very critical. And if there's one thing I would like to disappear is the dearth of AI talent, quality AI talent, especially with the advancements that are happening in AI, GenAI models and things like that. Our ability to power this journey and accelerate it is also in equal measure about AI talent. And that's an area where I'm quite worried in terms of where we are versus what we need.
Fantastic. So AI talent, Prashant.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, should I ask for 1 million Blackwell cluster or something, Hari? I mean, to develop AI site. So if there was a magic wand, I mean, that might be what everybody would want this year. But more importantly, I think I'll go with, a point close to Hari, right? It's about talent. And while Hari highlighted the AI talent, what we are seeing, I mean, on day-to-day operations itself, AI, the current models, okay, I mean, things can evolve. Is like a very super smart intern or analyst, right? I mean, it's giving a lot of data, but we need process experts. Even if I look at my tax process, financial planning process, or HR benefits process, or sourcing process, I see that AI is giving us a lot of intelligence, but I need experts who are well used or well versed in using AI or leveraging the power of AI to drive the transformation within client. So again, talent is my point. Again, talent is domain experts with a good appreciation of or ability to use AI. I mean, that's where I for me, that's my constrained resource. So that's where I would want.
No, fantastic. I think what I would wish for is more such conversations. So I hope we continue this dialogue, gentlemen. It was a pleasure interacting with you. There's so much to, we could do this like a 5-hour podcast and still not get through all the topics, but it was a fantastic conversation. Thanks a lot for spending some time with us today.
Absolutely. Echo your thoughts, Saurav and Ashish. Thanks for having us here.
Thanks. Thank you both. I mean, it was a pleasure talking to both of you.